The book of Acts is a blueprint of God's expectations for. As you read through the Bible, you might be confused on different topics. Different statements of Scripture might seem to contradict. For example, are faith or works what saves us? Or is the church local or universal? What does it look like when someone becomes a Christian? And the book of Acts answers in a splendid and practical way all these concerns. It shows us that salvation is by obedient faith. It shows us that the church is both universal and also has a sense in which it is local. But most of all, it shows us what salvation looks like practically. And we can see from the examples of inspired apostles what we should be doing and practicing today. Nowhere is that clearer than in examples of conversion, and I'd like for us this morning to study one of those examples. I want us to talk about the conversion of a woman we read about here in Acts 16, a woman named Lydia. And I want to remind you as we begin that there are some examples we might look at in life that are unimportant. There are some people whose lives we can look at or not look at, and it's really irrelevant. But let me tell you, if we fail to follow the example of Lydia, we will not be saved. If we don't do what she did, we will not be there when that role is called up yonder. And so we need to be very clear and very sure that we are right with the Lord. So let's read beginning in Acts 16 and verse 11. It says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And so she persuaded us." The first thing I want us to see about Lydia's conversion is that Lydia heard the gospel. You see, Paul and his companions up to this point had not had a lot of success in their preaching. They had tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit didn't permit them. They had tried to go into Asia, and they couldn't go there either. And finally, Paul has a vision. You'll read about this in verses 9 and 10, that Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over here and help us." So finally, Paul gets to sail over to Macedonia, and they get there, and they don't seem to have any luck. It says we were staying, verse 12, we were staying in that colony or in that city for some days. They were there for a while before anybody really got interested in the gospel. In fact, things were so bad in Philippi that there wasn't even a synagogue. There was no place where Jews met, and you know that Paul liked to go to the synagogue first. Let's get some interested people and see if they can't become the foundation of a new church. So they sail out in faith, and up to this point, they don't see much results. But probably by asking around, they find out about a group of women who meet by the river to pray and worship God. Now, already, what we see as we get to this point in the story is several things that commend Lydia to us. Look at verse 13. It says, "On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." We learn that Lydia was part of a group that worshipped God. Even though there was no synagogue and there were only women here, they still gathered together to pray. And the text says prayer was customarily made, meaning they did it week after week after week. It wasn't an intermittent kind of religious service. But not only did they meet on the Sabbath, which would have been the holy day of the Jews, the day when they wanted to meet, but in verse 14 it says, "There, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God." That's important because she didn't worship all the pagan deities of the Gentile world. She wasn't like all the other Gentiles. She knew about the one God. So you can see we already have a good foundation for what's going to come. We have someone who's headed in the right direction, and yet someone who needs a lot more information and teaching before she can be right with God. So coming down to the riverside, we have Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, and they gather together, and it says they spoke to them. In verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard. Lydia heard the gospel. And the word here means the actual act of listening, the physical act of hearing the gospel. And that was vital. She stopped long enough to hear the words that were said. That's key because there has to be an initial introduction to the gospel of Jesus before we can ever do anything about it. And if she wasn't willing to hear, none of the rest of what follows could have ever happened. None of the wonderful blessings that came to Lydia would have come if she hadn't first heard. And the fact that Lydia heard speaks well of her, because what we learn about her is that she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Now, purple was a very valuable color of dye, because purple was considered a color of royalty. And she was from the city of Thyatira, which was a hotbed of dyeing. I know that's not really an interesting tidbit, but it was something that she probably would have known very well. And the point is, Lydia was probably a fairly wealthy woman. We don't read anything about her being married, but we do know she had a house. And she was living in this foreign place, and likely it was because of business that she was there. So think about that. Think about all the obstacles that often come when people are rich and satisfied, and think how well it speaks of Lydia that she was willing to hear in spite of the fact that what she was hearing might have changed all of that. It might have changed her good graces in the community where she was trying to work. And it might have changed the fact that she wasn't going to have as much money if she chose to follow Jesus. But you know, that also, there's another thing that also speaks well of Lydia. That is that Lydia could have easily dismissed these men by simply saying, look, I'm already religious. I already worship God. I already serve God. Don't bother me with this. I already am doing what's right, and I don't need you to tell me I'm wrong. I'm worshiping God in my own way. Who are you to come boss me around, she could have said. And even though they can be the best prospects at times, people who are religious but wrong are too resistant to hear the gospel. I would urge you, if you're listening to me right now, you might be religious and wrong. So don't just give up on the fact that you might be wrong. Don't give up on the scripture. Listen. Do what Lydia did. It might mean an important change in making you not only religious, but right with God. Lydia is to be commended because she heard. Leave your marker here in Acts 16. Let's go over a page to Acts 18. In Acts 18 and verse 8, it says, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You notice that? Hearing, it says specifically, they heard the gospel, and then they believed it, and then they were baptized. They weren't baptized before they heard it. They weren't baptized because somebody else mentioned something about it. They heard it, and they believed it, and were baptized. Now, the reason hearing is so vital is because it gives us a real picture of Jesus and what Jesus expects from us. And that's the reason so much emphasis is placed on hearing in the Scripture. I want to show you one more passage on this point in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Paul makes an argument here about this idea of hearing, speaking about the Jews and how they had heard but still had no excuse because they knew the truth and refused to obey. But in Romans 10 and verse 14 it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, those are words of conclusion, so then, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the basic argument here is, if we have to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved, how can we call on someone who we don't believe? And how can we believe if we don't hear? So Paul is saying, well, we want to get to the point where we can call on God's name, call on the name of Jesus, but first we have to hear. Then we have to believe, and then we're able to call on the name of the Lord. And he says in conclusion, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. That's the reason it's so important for us to preach the gospel. That's the reason we try at every turn to say what needs to be said from the Scripture, because faith comes by hearing, and that hearing only comes from the Word of God. I might tell you about my testimony. I might tell you about my life, but that's not going to produce faith in you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to follow Lydia's example, because Lydia heard when Paul came and preached the gospel to her. She heard about Jesus of Nazareth. She heard that he did great wonders and signs. She heard that he was rejected, that he was crucified. She heard that the tomb was empty. She heard that he's at the right hand of God. She heard about Jesus, all of this, and probably much more. And she came to faith in Jesus. Let's go back to Acts 16. Not only did Lydia hear, the text says that Lydia heeded. You might think that's the same thing, but the text actually makes a distinction here. Look in Acts 16 and verse 14. It says, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." The Lord opened her heart to heed. Notice the word here is not to hear, but to heed. If you're reading the English Standard Version, it says to pay attention. If you're reading the New American Standard, it says to respond. I don't really think that's the best translation. The King James says attended to. The word means to hold the mind toward, to pay attention to be cautious about, to apply oneself to. So what he says here is, not only did she hear, but she thought about it. She was focusing on, and she heeded what we said. Lydia listened and paid attention to the message. Now that informs us that in some way we need to respond to the gospel. Even if we're already good people, simply hearing the words doesn't change us. And simply hearing the words doesn't make us what we should be. Sitting in a church building and hearing good things doesn't make us a Christian any more than sitting in a hen house makes us a hen. We have to do something about what we hear. And so Lydia heeded. But a lot of attention is paid to this phrase. The Scripture says, the Lord opened her heart. I think that's an incredible statement as to what Jesus is doing. Now remember, Jesus had brought Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke all the way to this city, Philippi. He had brought them all the way across the continent of Asia. And he brought them there. And not only that, he knew about this woman, Lydia. And he knew that if she got in the right place at the right time, she would respond to the gospel. And so he brought her all the way from Thyatira to Philippi. And he had her praying there by the river, and he had Paul and his companions to find her, and he brought those people together, and then it says he opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. You know, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We can see that in this story. We're reminded that God is able to bring seekers to people who can help them find God. He is able to bring those people together just like he did with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. Just like he did with Paul and the jailer. Just like he did with Peter and Cornelius. He is able to bring people together when he knows they have the kind of heart that will respond to the pure gospel. That's an amazing statement. The stamp of divine approval is all over this story. But the question is, how did the Lord open her heart? Some have tried to take this text and teach that in order for someone to be saved, God has to supernaturally and directly act on your heart to open it. Some people phrase this as the Spirit has to convict you, or that in some way the Spirit has to push you to respond to the gospel. And they'll come to a passage like Acts 16:14 and say, this is the reason that has to be true. Well, the text does not say that. The text simply says, look at it again in verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So the question is not, did the Lord open her heart? The question is, how did that happen? Well, we're not told. He doesn't say the Lord opened her heart with some miraculous intervention, some zapping of the Spirit. Doesn't say anything about it. Just says the Lord opened her heart. But I believe that it's evident from the text that this opening of Lydia's heart happened through the first thing that she did. When she heard the gospel, the Lord opened her heart through the gospel to become obedient to what she had heard. Look again at the text, the way it reads in verse 14. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Things spoken by Paul, she heard them, and now she is heeding them. And so it seems to me that through the things she heard, she is now willing and able to heed and obey what she has heard. She heard it, and the Lord used that hearing to create faith in her. Just like we said a moment ago, faith comes by not direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. What did it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here we have the response from that hearing, and it is what the Scriptures call heeding or paying attention, focusing on. And I believe here probably the idea of believing is involved as well. So the basic point I'm trying to make here is, in addition to giving you some ideas as to what this means, we should not assume that this passage teaches how the Lord opened her heart, because it doesn't. We should not assume that somehow supernatural action is required before we can be saved. We see many, many examples of conversion in the New Testament, and yet nowhere do we see that the Spirit or Jesus or the Father directly acted on people so that they would believe. We just do not see that. What we see is very simple. We see people preaching the gospel, other people hearing it, believing it, and obeying. That's what we see today when we see things according to the New Testament pattern. But Lydia paid attention to this message from God and implied in that, as I said, I believe she believed it. She accepted it because the next thing she's going to do shows that she already believed in Jesus. The next thing Lydia did was Lydia obeyed. Look at verse 14. Says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. Notice the way that reads. She heeded, and when she was baptized, she begged us. The implication here is that when she heeded, baptism was a no-brainer. It was to be expected. In fact, they were right next to a river. So it seems natural for her to say, well, she heeded it, and when she was baptized. Not Paul convinced her that that was the right time to be baptized. Not anything about she decided she wanted to become a part of some denomination. Simply says, she heeded, and when she was baptized. The next thing is just natural. When we hear the gospel and we believe it, obedience is natural. How much do we really believe if we're not willing to obey? You see, the witness of these conversion stories in the book of Acts screams against the modern notion of faith-only salvation. That you just believe and believe hard enough, or you believe and you say some sort of prayer, and that means that you're saved. Lydia obeyed, and that puts her in the same category as the Jews on Pentecost, and Simon and the Samaritans, and the eunuch, and Cornelius and the Philippian jailer and the Corinthians and so on and so on. They all obey. Because when we believe in Jesus, obedience is natural. That's what we want to do. I believe in Jesus, and as they said in Acts 2, what shall I do? What do I do now that I believe in Jesus? And Jesus' first command, of course, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Notice that Lydia's obedience did not invalidate her faith. And it did not somehow diminish Jesus' work on the cross. I've heard people say both of those things. And yet Lydia obeyed. And there's no hint of that rebuke from Paul. Instead, Lydia's obedience demonstrated and made real the faith that she had come to. But it's interesting. In verse 15 it says, when she and her household were baptized. Not only did Lydia obey, her household obeyed. We shouldn't be thinking here that the household obeyed because Lydia made them obey. I think we know enough about the Apostle Paul to know he's not going to stand for that. But these members of her household came to faith, probably in large measure because of the example of Lydia. They saw Lydia, they heard what she heard, they saw what she had done, and they said, yes, I agree, I believe too. And so they were baptized as well. I need to address something else that's said here for your information and for opportunities you're going to have to run into people who might get this part and hit a roadblock before they're willing to obey. See, some have taken this reference and tried to find babies here. And they argue that babies should be baptized because the household of Lydia was baptized. And I have a couple of problems with that. First of all, we don't see anything about Lydia having a husband, much less children. The word household referred to the people who lived with her. That includes servants, or it could include family members. But the text doesn't give us any implication of children, and the word household in itself has no implication of children. What we're doing is reading into the text what we want to find. Okay, I would like to have some text that shows they baptized children, baptized babies, and so I'm going to try to find some text that says that. It just doesn't say that. But the second thing is, and please hear me well, this passage could not possibly teach modern infant baptism because of the word. Verse 15, the word is baptized. And the word baptized, this is according to Mr. Thayer, means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, to bathe, or to overwhelm. In other words, it does not mean sprinkling. And true baptism would be very dangerous to do to a baby. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who were at least of sufficient age to come to their own faith and to be baptized because of their own faith in Jesus and therefore produce their own obedience, which would be pleasing to Jesus. Scripture says he who believes and is baptized will be saved, not he who has water sprinkled on him without ever believing will be saved. So modern infant baptism has to first read something into the passage that isn't there, then eliminate faith as a requirement for salvation, because of course babies can't believe. And then they have to change what baptism means. So I think it's abundantly clear that's not what's taught you. But let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. Lydia obeyed, and I want to talk about that in a more positive way. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. When Lydia obeyed, that obedience pleased God. And we are not going to please God. We're not going to have salvation or true conversion until we obey like Lydia did. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We have to obey to please the Lord. Jesus obeyed. And all the work of Jesus was centered on obedience to the Father's will. From the very first things he did, from the time he was 12 years old and said, I must be about my Father's business, at every point, down to the crucifixion when he said, not my will, but yours be done, at every point, Jesus was centered on obedience. Do we think he expects any less from us? That Jesus had to obey, but we don't. Because we're way more important than Jesus, right? He should have to obey, but we don't have to. We're better than that. Not at all. In fact, verse 9 says, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So now Jesus says, the requirement is, obey me, and you'll have salvation. If we believe in him, you've got to do what he says. Now, there might be someone who's listening right now who would say, I don't have to be baptized. Or I believe, and that faith is enough. Why do you say you believe if you don't want to do what Jesus says? Or to put it in a better way, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? As Jesus said in Luke 6:46. Hearing, heeding, obeying. And so Lydia, rejoicing at the great grace and love of God, became a child of God that day. And like most new Christians in New Testament times, she wanted most to rejoice with other Christians about what had happened. Now, notice, she also tried to convert those who were of her household and succeeded in that. But I want us to see the next thing that Lydia did. Let's go back to Acts 16. In Acts 16 and verse 15 it says, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. The last thing I want to say about Lydia is that Lydia worked. After her conversion, she urged these good men to come stay with her. And the word used is begged or urged. It's stronger than just she asked. She pleaded with us, please come stay at my house. Now, first of all, that was an act of hospitality. To ask four men, at least, that we know there were four, perhaps more, to ask four men to come live in your house is a tall order. And it probably means a lot of work for you and probably some extra money to try to feed them and take care of them. But what a wonderful gift to these men. Remember, they have had zero success so far in Philippi. They're probably staying and paying for lodging or staying somewhere where they could just get by. But now to have a new Christian come and invite them so that they could stay there would have been a tremendous blessing to them. And for Lydia, that meant she was in a way supporting their ministry. She was supplying them with what they needed so they could not have to worry about it and go preach the gospel. But this desire to have these men stay with her also reveals to me a desire that she had to continue to hear the word. You see, Lydia wasn't the kind of person who said, I want to get my salvation and hit the road. I've got all I need from you. She wanted to keep hearing. She wanted to know more. And these men held the key to that. So the closer they were to her, the closer she was to Jesus. And so she said, you come stay with me. She appeals to her faithfulness as a basis for this request. In verse 15 it says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. How could they deny that? How could they say no? And so it says she persuaded us. What I want you to see is this scene shows that Lydia was willing to fully become a disciple. Not just a pew warmer. Her conversion was genuine. She didn't just want to have a baptismal certificate. She wanted to be changed. She wanted to follow Jesus. She wanted to know more about him. Lydia worked even after she became a Christian. Now, I want to go ahead and point out, we do have instruction as to hospitality. In Hebrews 13:2, we're told, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And we're also told, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I'll talk more about that tonight. But I want us to remember that this is a vital fact about conversion. Whether it's just hospitality or not, we need to understand when we are converted, there is work involved. It is the beginning of work. It's not the end. It's not, okay, we've done all we need to do. It's the beginning. It was for Lydia and it was for all New Testament Christians. And it is for us today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So just because we're not saved by our good works, doesn't mean we don't have to do good works. He says, we are created for good works. That's what God expects us to do. We were not created for spiritual laziness. We were created to do the works that were established, prepared before the foundation of the world. And we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's going to take work. And so when we come up out of the water, that's not the end. It's the beginning. And we need to encourage people about that, by the way. When we're talking to people about becoming a Christian, our goal is not just to get people into the water. Our goal is to make disciples of Jesus. When they get out, that's not the end. We don't just want to say, well, look, we got another baptism. We want to say, we made a disciple today. We helped someone draw closer to Jesus, to be what he should be. And I fear that we have done a great injustice to a great many by emphasizing so much baptism and not emphasizing what happens the next day. Lydia understood, and she worked for the Lord. Ask yourself, are you a different person than you were before you were a Christian? Have you grown? Are you doing anything differently? A lot of people did some good works before they were Christians. Keep doing the same works after they're Christian. Are we growing? Are we working? Are we changing? Are we analyzing our lives? Are we studying our Bibles? Are we helping one another? What are we doing? We are created for good works. And if you're not, think back to your conversion. Were you excited then? Didn't you want to show other people the truth? Weren't you zealous for good works? Weren't you excited? People were excited for you. People were encouraging you. What happened? Can't we get back to the work that comes fresh from salvation? You see, Lydia's story is refreshing because it reminds us of the unfeigned love and zeal that comes when we are sincerely converted. We're just happy that we don't have to worry about our sin anymore. We're happy that we don't feel guilty anymore. And so we're happy to do whatever God requires. My prayer is that we can rekindle that desire to do the Lord's work. Not just one time, but to make it a part of our lives. Now I want to show you. All of us are somewhere here. Perhaps you've heard the word and you need to heed it. You need to give serious attention to it. Not passing attention that says, oh, he's up there talking again, or, oh, he's just going on about salvation again. Serious attention to your life and where it's headed. You need to heed the word. Perhaps you paid attention and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. But there's something stopping you from obeying. You're stuck right here. And you need to know you're still not pleasing to God. You need to know that what's keeping you from doing what God commands is keeping you from heaven. it's keeping you from salvation. There is something there that must be removed. And I urge you with all my heart, get rid of it right now. There is no time like right now to do the Lord's will. And maybe you have obeyed. And probably most of us who are members of this church are here where we have obeyed the gospel initially. And we can say we're children of God. What are we doing? How are we following Lydia's example of doing the Lord's work? If you need to change that and become more active, please do that. There's no time like right now to make your life right with the Lord. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? We offer it now as we stand and sing to encourage you.